once again like to tell you that tonight we are praying and we are still on the same subject, the spiritual geography, the prophetic geography, understanding the prophetic geography. So we have the geography of the spirit, locations in the atmospheres. You understand? See, if you read your Bible, you're going to find some places that are hidden in different locations in the spirit. Do you know what the Bible says? It says, for those who are in Christ. Now the word in, it tells you what? It's a location. So already you're operating from a particular location. So you are not just random. You are operating on a certain place. Say amen.
Amen.
So tonight we are speaking about the prophetic geography. Not just spiritual, but prophetic geography. Now, so there are geographies in the spirit. And we mentioned the first one, and I told you that the first one is the womb. And I mentioned to you from the physical concept of a womb, and I explained to you what happens. And the knowledge of such particular information is very important, because you can be in church and think you know a lot. Well, you don't. Are you understanding? There is a word known as Sciolism. Sciolism is when you think you know a lot, yet your knowledge is just on top. You are a sciolist. And when you know so much, when you know you have got more information, you become skillful in what you do. Your prayer isn't just a prayer. You get? So that it means you are no longer a sciolist, but you are adept. So adept means when you know something deeper. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to become that adept to this information of spirituality and prophetic ministry, to be precise.
Amen.
Now, as I said earlier, I said there are spiritual prophetic geographies in the spirit. These geographies are not just locations, but they are places of operations. Say, places of operations. Number one, I gave you, I said the womb. Now, the womb is a location in the spirit. We read from Jeremiah 1, verse 5. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you.
I ordained you as a prophet to the nations.
So see something that is very important over there. So scripture is telling us of a particular location and an activity that took place in that location. So the first type of a womb we are talking about, it is the physical womb. Now, I told you that this physical womb, it is where God did something. And most of us, there is something that happened when you were in the womb of your mother. That witch doctors picked, angels picked, but maybe you didn't pick it. I told you what I did with a certain guy in New York. Now, I meet this guy. I said, what should I pray for you? Then the mom intervened. I look at the guy, I said, he's putting lipstick. Then the mother said, no, pray for my son. I said, what happened? Then she explained the story. She said, oh, my son, you know, he says he's married to another guy. So I turned to him and I said, what should I pray for you? He said, oh, pray for my relationship. I said, we have a problem here. I said, Papa in heaven, we have a problem here. I said, what should I pray for you? He said, my relationship. My mom doesn't understand me, and she judges me, and I found a very cool guy. I said, Yebana. What is this? I said, Father, I have never come across, how will I deal with this issue? And the guy, he wants prayer for his relationship. I check, I see his bag, a woman bag. I said, this man is gone. You know, the man isn't talking about he should be delivered. He wants his relationship to move well. The mom wants him to be delivered. So I'm standing there. I said, God help me. Then boom, God put up a vision for me to see what happened. And guess what I saw? God showed me the woman when she was pregnant. Right there, I saw the woman when she was pregnant. And I saw the woman standing like this with the clothes for baby girls. You know, like a baby girl. And I said, woman, I said, where are you? I asked him, I said, where are you? Were you praying to have a baby girl when you are pregnant of him? She said, yes, I have 6 boys. And I said, God, I want this time. I was praying and I was saying, he shall be what? He shall be a girl. I said, that's it. You have a boy girl. And that's it. That's what you prayed for. So he said, my father, I said, you declared that this one is going to be a girl. That's when the child was born, the child was thinking like a girl, playing like a girl, features of a girl, and is a boy. So I said, I'll help you. Immediately, God gave me wisdom. He said, deliver the boy. I said, I know it's not your problem, but I'm going to help you because God has told me what is a problem. And next time I meet you, and I promise you, you will not be like this. I looked at a man and I said, in the name of Jesus, I take you back into your mother's womb. I reverse every word your mom said when you are in your mother's womb. You are not a girl. You are a boy. I said, I reverse. As I was praying, it's the mother who began manifesting. And then the boy. I continued praying for other people. I came here. 2 years later, I went to the States. Now for a huge conference in New York again. So I'm arriving there. And I see protocol guys everywhere. They're picking me in black suits. And one is driving me from the airport. Now he's driving me. Another guy protocol. I said, then he's like, do you remember me? I said, I know. He said, he shows me a ring. I said, no, I don't know you. He said, I'm the guy you delivered. I'm no longer a woman. I got married my beautiful wife. Do you understand? The deliverance was very critical because we had to take him spiritually in his womb and reverse whatever was spoken over his life. And the man was set free. Some of you, we have to take you prophetically back into your mother's wombs and they change what was spoken about you. Now, so there are spiritual dynamics that I want you to understand. I don't want you to be praying from the top like how we are praying right now. No, that would be pretentious. You must understand that there are spiritual things that must be dealt spiritually. That's why I told you there's a place known as the womb. The womb, there are things that happen and happened with the womb. And I shared with you, with vivid examples, the meaning of a womb. I said to you, I said the word womb means what? It means mercy. The word womb. We read the scripture and we checked in Hebrew version, and I showed you it actually means mercy. What you call womb, it actually means mercy, meaning something can happen with that womb. What comes out from that womb comes by mercy and not by accident. You can lose it. It takes mercy. So we shared different things that we shared, and we looked at different things that we looked at. And it's very important to see. So in the physical, the womb has got a role it plays. If you are a mother and you have given birth to your children and they are alive in there somewhere else, put your hand upon your womb and say these words after me. Any woman, if you have got a child right now, you're a woman, you have got kids, and if you love them, put your hand upon your womb. Say these words with me. Say, anyone that came out of my womb, I declare a blessing. Say it again. Say, in the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing. Say amen. I shared with you about the hidden place. God hides you. Now, spiritually, the womb may mean a hidden place. A moment God hides you. God can hide you the way he did with me, John. Don't be deceived. Sometimes God hides you. And when he has released you, the whole world will shake. Are you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about you. Sometimes God hides a person. A womb is a place where you will not see the child. People want to see the child unless you go through scanning. But the child remains hidden. And there is a purpose why. When you want to plant a seed, you bury it. There is a purpose why. For some reasons, it is not going to grow going down. It will grow up. There is something that will invite it. And it's called light. Understand this. And I'm saying this again to all of you. That when God hides you, there is something that God is cooking. Do not force yourself to be born. Because God is cooking something. Somebody say with me, the Lord is cooking something. We also went at another phase in the spirit, known as the skillful phase. And we read scriptures there as well. And I spoke to you that God uses his skill to make you what he wants you to be. Do not resist this process. If God wants you to be prayerful, be prayerful. If God wants you to be what? To be a giver, be a giver. If God wants you to be humble, be humble. Do not resist this phase. This is a phase where God gives you a new heart. He gives you his spirit. Do not jump this process. And I spoke to you, then there's the non-phase where God says, I knew you and I formed you. This phase is very critical because God now has known your desires. He has known your intentions. Then he releases you. However, I gave you a warning that the womb is a place of warfare. It's not just a place of comfort. I shared with you that when Jesus was just born, the demonic world knew about it. The wise men from the east were not just wise because they studied science. They were magicians. That's why they are known as the Magi, the wise men. The wise men in the Bible, these were the people who, when Nebuchadnezzar wanted an interpretation of the dream, the Bible says he called the wise men. These were the people who were very spiritual and sophisticated. These are the men, the Bible says, when Pharaoh wanted to challenge Moses, he called the wise men who brought in their sticks. And the sticks turned into snakes. Now imagine that the wise men came from the east. Magicians, they picked that Jesus is born. And no one in the temple in Jerusalem picked it. So the people who picks your future, people who know your next breakthrough, may not be in church. They may be magicians who are monitoring you, and they can sabotage it before it's even born. When Jesus was born, they already came and sabotaged everything. You know how? They went to Herod and told Herod to say, "King is born." Why are you telling Herod? What do you want him to do? They went to government officials and reported the birth of Jesus. And the government immediately deployed the soldiers. Kill every child. How did they know it? How did they know it? So you may be sitting there thinking, "Oh, I have no enemies. Ha, ha, ha. I have no enemies." Listen. The people who are monitoring you are not the people you even know. They are principalities and powers that they are having interest in your story. What was the interest of these magicians about Jesus' birth? We don't hear them. The whole Bible, we don't hear them in history that they visit somebody when he's born. Only when Jesus is born, they come. They said, we know he's a king. Do you understand about Moses? Moses, when he was still in the womb, in the demonic world, they had intelligence. Before Moses is born, a law is made. Before Moses is born, he's still in the womb. The law is made. Every boy from Israel, every child must be killed. So there are things in your life that they are put that they should never be born. And some of you, the enemy has put up that line that you must never come out. You must never manifest. You must never show up. So you will do business, you will try this, you do ministry, but you always have a ceiling. You will hit the wall, you don't show up. But I've come here with the good news. We are breaking this ceiling. Now, the second place that I'll be starting tonight is the wilderness. There's a prophetic place known as the wilderness. This is not a teaching I'm teaching you like trying to make a place. No, it exists. Before I give you the verses for tonight, I'll give you a reference. In the book of Revelation chapter 12, it speaks of a woman who the Bible says she gave birth to a son. But God took this woman and hid her in the wilderness so that the serpent must not see her. So scripture does not use the word a town or anything. No, it uses the word what? Wilderness. And if you check the meaning of a woman, prophetically, the word woman represents a nation. So when you're reading there, when you're reading the book of Revelation chapter 12, a woman the Bible is talking about is the nation of Israel. When scripture says, "And she was taken to be hidden in the wilderness," it talks of when Israel would be captured and will leave Israel and will go far away as captives. And the Bible calls that place what? Wilderness. So wilderness, it is a figurative word that does not mean entirely a location or a desert. However, it means or it represents what happens in the desert happening in your life. So there are people right now who are moving in spiritual wildernesses. And they do not understand that it is actually a divine orchestration. God made it in that way that at this season, they should be in this season. So they are wandering. They have no money. They are struggling. Everything is falling apart. But it may not be as we think. What if I tell you that what's happening around you, it is a spiritual happening, a prophetic happening? Do you understand that every person in the Bible who you know and who you honor so much, their life does not exist without the wilderness? Do you understand that Moses has a wilderness attached? Joshua has a wilderness attached. Elijah has a story of a wilderness where when he went there, he had no food, nothing to do. It took angels to appear to Elijah and they gave him food and said, eat. Here is a place where you begin to learn divine provision. Here, you learn. You test a life. You have no money for rent. You have no money for fees. Yet somehow, somewhere, things happen. It's not just a happening. God teaches you here about divine provision. And if you do not pick it, that is divine provision, or God is teaching you something, he's opening your eyes to see, you may end up staying here until you learn. The people of Israel stayed in the wilderness until they learned. That was God. He says, remember, it is the Lord who made you rich. Until you remember. Until you learn. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to talk to somebody here. You have no Jesus without the wilderness. Even Jesus had to go into the wilderness. You have no John without what? You have no Apostle Paul without the wilderness. He had to meet Jesus on his way to Damascus in the wilderness. That's where he met Jesus. You will not have a story without it. That's why it is important to understand that where are you in the spirit realm? You might be operating in a place of a wilderness, a place of isolation, a place where nothing makes sense, a place of abandonment, a place where you have got more questions than answers. That place, you are not just standing in there. It may be a spiritual happening. And you must understand, how would I perform? How would I walk here? Because there is no wilderness, I can promise you this. There is no wilderness without Canaan. Oh, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. There is no what? There is a place you are about to arrive. And when you arrive in that place, it's not just a place of money. No, like, oh, I had a breakthrough. No, I'm talking about a place of serious wealth, a place of abundance, serious cash flow, and liquidity. Oh, I'm trying to talk to somebody here. I know right now you are suffering. You're in a wilderness. You have got no money, no nothing. The Bible says when they were in the wilderness, God was giving them what? Manna. And the Bible says the moment they touched Canaan, the Bible says manna stopped happening. You didn't hear this. So all this while now, you are living by grace until the actual door has opened. God will say, now you can handle yourself. Hey. But the problem is, you can remain in that wilderness. Some die in the wilderness. Some fail to handle the heat, the situation. This is a place where you have got limited resources. You have got, sometimes it feels like, you know what? I think God has forsaken us. Do you understand the people of Israel? Several occasions and moments, they said, Moses, did you bring us into the wilderness to die? Because in this place, promises of God, they look delaying. Do you know? They were said, Moses, you told us that we're going into Canaan. Until when are we going to suffer like this? It's a place where sometimes you may think things are taking long and this thing will not happen. But I have a word for you. Hallelujah. I have a word for you. Whatsoever God said he would do, he will do. And let me tell you something. If there is a place where God demonstrated so many miracles, is in the wilderness. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. If you read the story of David, where he had so many victories, where he defeated so many soldiers in the wilderness. If you hear about Elijah, where miracles happened, he was coming from the wilderness. Understand, there is something that God does. Your season of abandonment and isolation, God is preparing you for something beautiful. I can say this without an apology. You are about to start witnessing miracles that will begin to show you that you are indeed about to step into Canaan. I decree and declare, wherever you are in this season, you will see the hand of God. Say the name of Jesus. Let me say this to you. We are not worshiping history. We are not serving God of history, where we're just thinking about, oh, God did this. No, we are going to see it in your life. Earlier this morning, I had a personal Bible study around 10 in the morning. And the Lord led me into the book of Job 42. I've been reading this verse. But when I read it today, you know, I even said, Jesus. Verse 5. I want you to see what it says.
I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes sees you.
I want you to see this in NIV. Do you know what the Bible says? It says it. My ears
had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you.
Do you know you can grow up in the ministry hearing about God, what God does? God, without seeing anything. God told him, he said, when I read this scripture, God said to me, he said, do you know when you'll be ministering tonight? He said, the most people you've been ministering to, they have heard about what you've been preaching. But they will enter into a season of seeing. Do you know who was talking this? This is Job. He said, I've been hearing about you. But now I'm no longer hearing. I have seen you. I am seeing your hand. Somebody say, I'm here, prophet.
I'm here, prophet.
God is about to restore you. God is about to make those things that stopped working, they'll begin to function. And you will say, I have seen God. God is about to remove you from your wilderness. He will take you out of that place. Do you know the meaning of wilderness? It comes from a Hebrew word, daba, which means to speak. A wilderness is a place where God speaks to you. And I told you this last service. There are scenarios happening around you. They are not happening to punish you. But God wants to show you people who really love you. There are things happening. God wants you to become wiser. Because the door that is going to God is about to open, there are many people who come to you and they say, they love you. You didn't hear me. There are people, my daughter, people come and they say they love you. But now you are seeing them. You know their intentions. You'll be very careful now. This guy. Somebody said, Lord, speak to me this season. Let me read two verses and we're done. I've got very few minutes to finish. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 2.
And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not.
Simple. Did you hear that? God said, I have put you into the wilderness for two reasons. to humble you. Number one. Number two, to see if you keep my word. And life is tough in the wilderness, right? And some of you have even become comfortable. You have become like the desert plants. Where you have now been assimilated with the environment and adapted to the environment. Like the desert plants. Where you are surviving. Do not be comfortable there. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
Do not be what?
There.
Do not. Because that's not your place. I'm telling you this. This drought, you've been in the heat for a long time. You've been in this drought for a long time. The Lord says, your season of walking out has come. Oh my God, I'm prophesying to someone who I know they are receiving with their spirit. The Lord says, your season of the desert is over. But hear the word that is behind it, to test you, to humble you. And now, when I was studying this word, humble, I found a very important thing. All right? It comes from the word anna, which means to afflict, to bring low. Sometimes where people may think they are humble, in fact, they are not even humble. God wants you to start speaking a language of humility. Can you imagine where you say, where you begin to say, the Lord did this. The Lord helped us. Have you noticed that there is a language of heaven that most people have not yet learned? Until today, if you survive on a car accident, you don't say, the Lord helped us. You say, oh, I almost had an accident. Imagine if you begin to change and begin to say, the Lord protected us from the accident. This looks as simple. Are you understanding? It looks like a simple word, but there is humility. God helped us to travel well. Do you understand that the whole Hosea? And again, Nehemiah. Read what they said when they traveled. We said, we fasted and prayed for us to have a nice journey. Even Ezra. Do you understand? It's important to realize that you just move. Can you imagine this? You traveled. You just arrived where you are going. Nothing. Just go in your bedroom like this. And if you've got a hotel, just enter the hotel. You sleep. Wake up in the morning. Like a pig. Listen, you are different. Am I talking to you?
Yes.
Begin to learn what is humility. Begin to thank God in things that others cannot thank God. When you travel long distance, tell God, thank you. Am I speaking to you? Because the same journey, some have died. And there are people who just eat food, not even giving thanks to God. I'm saying this thing to you. You will not come in my house and start eating without giving thanks. One, I invited some guests into my house one time. And before we pray, they began. I said, hey, I said, remove your food from your mouth. We need to thank God. I said, I'm so sorry. It's a policy in this house. I thought he's going to remove it. He swallowed. And I said, it's fine, but let's thank God. I said, let's thank God. And after we prayed, then he used as a false excuse. And you know, my father, in this house, everything is anointed, you know. I said, nah. It's anointed, but it doesn't work like that. Give thanks to God. Am I talking to you?
Oh, yes.
In the wilderness, you may actually think like, You see, God said, I will keep you. Do you know what it says in Deuteronomy 8:18? It says what? It says, just read it. Deuteronomy 8:18.
And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power.
Let's start from verse 16.
Who fed you in the wilderness with manna?
Do you understand? Do you hear this? Who has been keeping you since all these years? All these small, small doors, this manna that you've been getting, these are prophetic manners. God has been keeping you. God has dressed you. Now, God is asking them a question. Who kept you in the wilderness?
Yes, sir.
Who's keeping you right now in this wilderness? Now, continue reading.
Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you, to do you good in the end?
Wait a minute. Stop over there. I want everyone to read this together. One, two, three, go read.
In the end.
Say with me, at the end there is something good.
At the end there is something good.
The Bible says to do you good.
In the end.
Now continue reading. Continue reading. Then it says what?
Then you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand have gained me this wealth.
What? Then you say, after God kept you in the wilderness, after God has healed you in the wilderness, after God has preserved you in the wilderness, then you begin to say what? It is my hand that has helped me to make this money. It is my brain. It is my thinking. It's my skill. Right now, we are putting everything at the feet of Jesus. We are putting your businesses, we are putting your plans at the feet of Jesus. We are putting whatsoever you are praying for, you are believing for, your testimonies at the feet of Jesus. May he receive the praise. Whatsoever miracle that's going to happen, may all the glory go to his name. Somebody shout at the feet of Jesus. Then says, I love that. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Verse 18, it says, but remember.
And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with you, which he swore to you, to your fathers, as it is today, this day.
Do you understand that? So, some of you are even going to forget. Just remember, it's for the covenant I made with your fathers. You're going to forget about it. So, Bushir is a fake prophet. You have even forgotten your fathers. He says, it's the covenant I made with your father. Are you hearing me? God, he says, I will bless you because of the covenant I made with your father. You're going to hear this teaching very soon. Coming. I shared on Sunday a little bit in the morning service. God can fight you because of the covenant your spiritual father has with God. Now, God is not saying, I'm going to bless you because of the covenant I made with you. He says, because of the covenant which I made with your father. I'm not talking to somebody here. I want to say to anyone who's under the influence of this voice, God is going to open that door, whether somebody likes it or not. Whether you believe it or not, I want to say this to you. As I stretch my hand towards your direction, I command every opportunity, every door to open up. And you walk out of every wilderness. May you walk out of it in the mighty name of Jesus. May you walk out of every wilderness. I decree by the Spirit of the living God, you are walking out of every wilderness. In Jesus' mighty name.